Well, everybody doing well? If you're doing well, tell the person next to you, I'm doing well. I'm doing well. I'm doing well. I'm doing well. Hey, what happened to my picture of my family? Who's got that? Somebody got it? You picked it up here, man. What are you doing? I needed that. Picture I travel with. Thank you. Are you trying to get some money? Did I give you any yesterday? Oh, did I give you money yesterday?
Yes, I did.
I did? Okay. Some of the girls yesterday, a couple of the girls came up to me and said, Pastor Jackson, why don't you give us some money? I mean, you gave mainly boys money yesterday, and you didn't give us money. And I said, I've been giving money to girls ever since my twin daughters were born. And so I still give money to them. I give money all the time. Well, did you see Clint in there? How many saw Clint? Did you see Clint? How many, Clint's my son, 25-year-old son with Down syndrome. How many saw him in the picture? Did you see him in the picture? He's a blessing. Talk to him just for a second. He is a character. And some people think he takes after me because of some of the things he does, but I think he takes after my wife. And actually, like one time, we were in a Sunday night service, and during the Sunday night service, we had a lady, she went up to sing, and somebody had a beautiful voice over there. Who was singing over there? I think one of you had a beautiful voice over there, but she got up to sing, and she kind of looked over at the piano player, and it was like a dramatic pause. You know, she paused like, and then she kind of missed her intro, so she had another dramatic pause, waited a little while longer. Well, Clint was sitting on the third row. I guess there was probably 350, 400 people there. It was on a Sunday night, Dr. Cummins. And all of a sudden, Clint says, hit it, hot lips. I don't know where he got that. But she started singing right away. And so, something we use in our church all the time now. No, not really. All right, take your Bibles and turn to Isaiah chapter 6. Isaiah chapter 6. Isaiah chapter 6. Let's all stand. Isaiah chapter 6. Isaiah chapter 6. Man, it's hot out there, isn't it? I mean, some of you guys from Maine, where are you at? You're like me. I mean, you're like probably dying out there in this weather. Yesterday I was in the golf tournament. It was so hot, and Dr. Comfort kept on parking in the sun. I said, why don't we go out a little further in the sun so we get a little bit, I'm a hat on, I'm drinking water like a camel, and I don't have a hump on my back, do I, from drinking so much, but it was hot out there. Isaiah chapter 6. Isaiah chapter 6. Let me see, I need you, I need you guys to come up. Kate, can I have this mic right here? You got this mic? All right. I want you to read verse number 1, 2, 3, 4. Guess which verse you're going to write? 3, 5, 6, 7, 8. Yeah, you guys come. All right, go ahead. Nice and loud, right there. Follow along. Your best pulpit voice. Clear your throat. Need some water? Need some water? You need some?
No.
Good. Go ahead.
In the year that the king Uzziah died, I saw also the Lord sitting upon a throne, high and lifted up, and his train filled the temple.
Above it stood the seraphims. Each one had six wings. With twain he covered his face, and with twain he covered his feet, and with twain he did fly.
And one cried unto another and said, Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts, and the whole earth is full of his glory.
Stop just for a second. Are you getting the picture? How many are getting the picture? Throne room of God. I mean, are you getting the picture? Huh? I want you to get that picture today. That's the thing I want you to get. I want you to get the picture of the throne room of God. I want you to see his majesty. I want you to see his holiness. So get that picture, all right? Let's really concentrate in getting that picture. Next guy.
And the post of the door moved at the voice of him that cried, and the house was filled with smoke.
Then said I, Woe is me, for I am undone, because I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of the people, for mine eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. Then flew one of the seraphims unto me, having a live coal in his hand, which he had taken with the tongs from the altar.
And he laid it upon my mouth and said, Lo, this has touched thy lips, and thine iniquity is taken away, and thy sin purged.
Also I heard a voice of the Lord saying, Whom shall I send, and who go for us? Then said I, Here am I, send me.
And he said, Go and tell this people, Hear ye indeed, but understand not. And see ye indeed, but perceive not. Heavenly Father, I pray you'd bless this time we have together today. I pray much would be accomplished for your honor and glory. I thank you for these young people who have stepped out in their youth groups and in their churches and said, we want to do something for you. I pray, Father, that today you would just use again your word to speak to their hearts. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. Isaiah has an encounter with the throne room of God. And in this encounter, he reveals several truths that can help each of us realize our need, our calling, and open our eyes to the needs of others. It's important that we see today the throne room of God. I want us to first of all notice Isaiah saw the throne. If you're taking notes, that's the first point. That's the Roman numeral number one. Isaiah's lofty view of God gives us a sense of God's greatness. His majesty, his omnipotence, Isaiah's example of recognizing his sinfulness before God, encourages us to confess our sins, as Isaiah did. Encourages us to do something for God. How's your view of the throne today? How is your view of the throne today? When you pray, do you go to the throne room of God? When you pray, do you see God on the throne? I mean, is God real to you today? I want you to recognize the fact that God has given us imagination. God has certainly given us great truth from the Word of God, enough truth so we can understand and see the throne room of God. I think that a lot of Christians, young people, and even all those old people back there, each of us can understand the fact that we need to see the throne room of God. We need to see a real God. We need to understand we have a real God in heaven who loves us, who cares for us, who so loved us. He sent his only begotten Son to die on the cross of Calvary for our sin. We need to see that throne room today. Isaiah gives us great truth here. First of all, he got a vision of God's majesty. Historically, Isaiah had just witnessed the death of King Uzziah. And it was a bit confusing down here on planet Earth. But God said, Isaiah, take your eye off the earthly king and the earthly throne and put your eyes on me. Focus your attention on me. Isaiah records, I saw also the Lord sitting upon the throne, high and lifted up, and his train filled the temple. What a sight for him to be able to see that. And then he sees the seraphim. The seraphim are an order of angels that God used to commission Isaiah. Matter of fact, this is the only place they're mentioned in the Word of God. I see at least two great truths here. Number one, if you're taking notes, number one, although there may be confusion and conflict down here on planet Earth, there is organization and peace in heaven. Now, as we look at our society today, as we look at our world today, I want you to tell me some of the problems that you see as young people in our world today. Give me any problem you see in our world today. Yes, sir.
Lack of communication between generations.
Lack of communication between generations. Okay, and that's true. That's good. Am I communicating to you? Okay, good. So there's not a lack, and we're at least a couple generations away from each other. Here, I got some money for you. I got a couple bucks here. You pass it back to him. There you go. Okay. All right. I'm looking at real problems that could affect your children. How many here are planning on getting married? Slip your hands up. How many are planning on getting married? Huh? All right. Hey, man, this guy's hit his hand up right away. Yeah. Now, what kind of girl are you looking for?
She's got to be cute.
She's got. You might have a rough time with that one. What else? Okay, what are some of the problems? You want to stand up and I'll see if any of these girls think you're handsome? You want to do that? Yeah, look at them. Not necessarily. Okay, yes, what's the problem? Immorality. Immorality. All right, huge immorality. Or something else, yeah. Drug abuse. Okay, let's go away from those cultural vices and give me some other big problems on planet Earth today. Right there.
Spirituality on how the influence that they're having with Hollywood, different things, how my children will be influenced.
How your children will be influenced. Okay, that's good. Yes. All right, evolution, yes. Taking God out of school. All right, I'm looking for other things. What are there any problems on planet Earth today that could affect all of us? Huh? Yeah. War. Terrorism. How many remember that word, terrorism? How many remember 9/11, 2001? How many remember that? Oh, what happened at that time? Everybody got nervous. Matter of fact, people that never paid attention to God started paying attention to God. Huh? People that hadn't prayed for a long time all of a sudden got on their knees and started praying. Why? Because there was confusion on planet Earth. Now, when I was growing up, as I was a junior higher, and you guys can figure out my age now, but when I was a junior higher, there was a president that was assassinated. His name was John F. Kennedy. How many remember that? I was a junior higher, just stepped on the bus. And when I stepped on the bus, I saw everybody weeping. What's going on? The bus driver said, "Didn't you hear? The president's been assassinated." On that bus, there were kids who had made fun of me because I carried my Bible to school, had made fun of me because I prayed before I ate my sandwich for lunch. Those kids were now all of a sudden praying. They were asking God to help our country. It was amazing to see how they switched the switch from self-centeredness all of a sudden to the throne room of God. We need to understand that there are problems on planet Earth. Terrorism, war, BP oil. How many have ever heard of that? BP oil? I haven't seen any oil sludges up here. You do have a little bit on your collar there. Were you out there? No, I'm just teasing. Okay. What are some other problems? What are some other problems? Yes. Current government. I'm not going to touch that one. Okay. I could, but then I had to set that message aside. All right. Yes. Communism. Okay. Yes. The dress code today. There is a dress code today. I didn't think there was a dress code today. The way people dress. Are you talking like Hawaii's dress? He's got these stripes and this other. What color socks you got on?
Yeah, those socks, they're ugly.
Yeah. Yeah. What's the stripe on top of there? Here, man, we'll give you some money. Go buy some clothes, will you? All right. All right. Now, can't help it. Those have been passed down. You got older brothers? Yeah, I thought so. Tell them to take it easy on the clothes. You got to get them. All right, now. How about Bin Laden, Palestine? Anybody hear of Israel? I mean, there's a little problem over there all the time. I mean, how about Korea? North Korea, South Korea. I mean, a few problems there. We've got problems in this world. Hey, and you can go to bed tonight and you can start worrying about those problems, or you can go to bed tonight and pray and look at the throne room of God and lose the confusion and get peace. Huh? That's what we're talking about. Going to the throne room of God, not recognizing, oh, there are problems down here, but recognizing that God is bigger than any problem down here. And if we put our attention and focus on God, we can have a serenity and a peace that this world doesn't know about. Okay, that's truth number one. It's unsettling. It's unsettling down here. It's a world we're living in. It's unsettling. This guy who's looking for a cute wife wants to get married. How old are you? 16? Yeah, you'll probably get married by the time you're 50. And when he gets married and he has a child that looks exactly like him, boy, won't that be good. But anyway, when he has that, or maybe he'll get married at 26 and have 10 children look just like you. Want 10 children to look like you? No. Yeah, he's admitting something there. All right, now. It's unsettling. It's an unsettling world to bring your children in this world. I have 4 grandchildren. First one is Jackson. His name is Jackson. And he's a little stinker. And he takes after his grandmother. He does things like Clint does. But I'm telling you, I'm a little nervous as I look around. And if I go to bed at night thinking about the world and the problem the world has, I could wake up a worried mess in the morning. When I go to bed at night, I pillow my head and my wife says, I can't believe how good you can sleep. How can you sleep that good? Because God is in control. I still drink coffee at night. I still drink Diet Coke at night. I still sleep at night. I love it. I love it. But things are unsettling. I remember one time, I'll tell you this story, then we got to get going here. My son Clint, Down syndrome, you understand what I'm saying, and he's a little slower. He's handsome. He's more handsome than you are. But he was always taught, my wife would teach him things, and somebody bought him a Burt doll when he was first born. We don't watch Sesame Street and stuff like that. He hates that stuff. But how many know Sesame Street? How many? Okay, and you never watched Sesame Street? You look a little bit like Bert. But anyway, come here. I don't want you to hurt your feelings. Go get you some money. Come here. There you go. You'd rather look like Bert than Barney. All right, there you go, buddy. All right. So anyway, there's a problem. Everything my wife would teach Clint would teach Bert. And so, you know. It was fine. We looked at each other. Was this going? Nah, there's no problem. And so Clint, this is 12 years ago. Clint was learning to brush his teeth really good. And he's a little slower, you know. But, and instead of spitting the toothpaste out, he swallowed the toothpaste and the stuff. You know, he could brush his teeth and instead of going, he go. So he said, "This has got to be bad for the kid," you know. And so so my wife would go in there, and she said, "No, Clint, this is what you do. You brush your teeth, and you spit it out." And so it was pretty neat, because then Clint would say, "Bert, spit it out." And then he'd make noises. And so, you know, it's a big deal. Well, one day I went to brush my teeth in the morning or at night, and my toothbrush was wet. And I said to my wife, "Honey, are you using my toothbrush?" She said, "Doug, I have 3 toothbrushes. I don't need your toothbrush. I would not use your toothbrush." You know, I mean, that's kind of gross to think about using your toothbrush. And so my twin daughters just said, "Girls," you realize they're teenagers, "girls, are you using Dad's toothbrush?" "Oh, Dad, that's about the grossest thing in the world to think about using another person's toothbrush. We got all kinds of toothbrushes. We got power toothbrushes, electronic sonic toothbrushes. We got Crest strips. We got all this thing, you know, how girls are. They got everything, you know." And so I said, "Okay, Clint, are you using my toothbrush?" "Clint?" So I was over the church. We lived behind the church at this time, and I had to come home for something, and the maintenance man was with me. We had to go back in the back because we were replacing a window in the back. And so walking down the hallway, and all of a sudden, as I walked down the hallway, I looked down in the main bathroom, and there I saw Clint, and I saw he had Bert, and he was doing something with Bert. And so we walked back, and then all of a sudden I came back, a maintenance man and I were looking in, and there's Clint. And he's going, "All right, Bert, brush your teeth." And so he brushes Bert's teeth. He had my toothbrush. He's brushing his. And so he's sitting down next to the commode. He says, "Now spit, Bert." And so Bert goes, pretending that Bert's spitting into the toilet. And then he took my toothbrush and went around and around the toilet like this and started brushing Bert's mouth again. At this point, I started spitting. I'm trying to think, how many days have I done this? My wife did not kiss me on the lips for several days. That was the time that my girls quit kissing me on the lips and have been kissing me on the cheek ever since. I said, "Clint! Bert!" Pointed to Bert right away. Unsettling times. You understand what I'm saying? It's unsettling. All right, let's look at something else. Truth number two. Although there may be confusion and conflict down here on earth, there is organization and peace in heaven. Truth number two, if you're taking notes. We need to take our eyes off the temporary and put our eyes on the eternal God of heaven. We need to take our eyes off the temporary and put our eyes on the eternal God of heaven. We need to catch a vision of the throne. I'm serious here. This will change your daily devotions. This will help you in your Christian life. This will give you a greater respect and a greater opportunity to worship God in the right way. Okay? Now, take your Bibles and turn to Philippians chapter 2, verses 9, 10, and 11. Philippians 2, 9, 10, and 11. You have your Bibles? Turn there. Philippians 2, 9, 10, and 11. The Bible says, wherefore, God also hath highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, the things in heaven and the things on earth and the things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. I want you to take your Bibles now and turn to Revelation. Revelation. Chapter 5. Revelation chapter 5. Just wants to get a little feel for this. Revelation chapter 5, verse number 11. And I beheld, and I heard the voice of many angels round about the throne, and the beast, and the elders, and the number of them was 10,000 times 10,000, and thousands and thousands. Go back to chapter 4. Notice verse number 8. And the Bible says, and the four beasts had each of them six wings about him, and they were full of eyes within, and the rest not, and they rest not day and night, saying, holy, holy, holy Lord God Almighty, which was and is to come. And when those beasts give glory and honor and thanks to him that sat on the throne, who liveth forever and ever. The time is a time of worship. Holy, holy, holy. The whole earth is full of glory. What a great response Isaiah had. What a great example. Look at the angels. Look at Isaiah in this portion of Scripture in Isaiah chapter 6. Now look at the way you praise God. Now look at the way you worship God. Look at your life and how you respond to the throne room of God. Recognizing the true and living God as the true and living God. Your Heavenly Father, your Savior. How do we worship Him? How do we praise Him? Why don't we worship Him the way we ought to worship Him? Why don't we praise Him the way we ought to praise Him? Why isn't there a greater respect for the throne room of God? We have access, according to Hebrews chapter 4, verse number 12. But why are we lacking in that area? First of all, I believe it's because worship takes time. It takes time. And schedule, timing, devotions, it takes time. And I don't think we make enough time for God in our daily schedules. We are so scheduled today that sometimes God gets moved out of our schedule. And we need to make time for God. How many believe that we need to make time for God? All right, how many had devotions this morning? How many had devotions this morning? Of course, you're at camp. You have devotions. Now, was it good? Was it necessary? Now, did you have devotions because you had to have devotions? Or do you have devotions because there was real devotion toward God and you saw the throne room of God? Close your eyes. Close your eyes just for a moment. Picture the throne room of God. I gave you Philippians chapter 2, gave you Revelation chapter 4, Revelation chapter 5. Picture the throne room of God. Look back up this way. When I was a youth pastor several years ago, I found this picture of the great white throne judgment. Man, I said, wow, look at that. It was a picture of the great white throne judgment, a picture of the Lord on the throne, and a picture of a number of people coming before the Lord and being cast in the lake of fire. I tell you, that picture changed my mind about some things as I saw the glory of God on that throne. I think sometimes we just go through the routine of having devotions, and then if we don't have enough time, right, we just cut them short. and we're not showing the respect we ought to show to the throne room of God. Worship takes time. It takes thought. The truth is, a lot of young people, even Christian young people, don't have the right thought life. They're not thinking about what God wants me to do and how can I please God with my life. My mom, she was just, she still is just a little teeny lady. She weighs less than 100 pounds and she's about this tall with red hair. And she had six children, of course, and she was a really good disciplinarian. And she had my dad backing her in every area. They never read books by Spock or whoever that guy was, those shrinks that write those books on child psychology. My dad always read books on generals. And but my mom said something that stayed with me my whole life. She said, Doug, you can go wherever you want to go and do whatever you want to do, but just remember Jesus is always watching. He's right there watching. He'll never leave you nor forsake you. He's always watching. It takes the right thought process. And our thoughts aren't on God. Our thoughts are on the things of the world. Our thoughts are on egocentric things. Number three, it takes truth. The truth is being discarded today for convenience. And it takes transformation. Take your Bibles and turn to Romans chapter 12. Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. Take your Bibles and turn there. Romans 12, 1 and 2. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and what? Everybody, and what? Perfect will of God. It starts out, this portion of Scripture starts out, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God. What do you think that means, the mercies of God? Big guy right there with the A on your chest. What does that mean, the mercies of God? Didn't give us the punishment we deserve. All right. Good. I like that. Come see me. Well, here's some cash for you right now. There you go. Okay. What else do you think it means? Right there. I am coming for us. I haven't given girls money for a while, you know, so. You girls just look so nice, I'm going to just give you money right now. All right, there you go. There you go. There you go. I got all this money left here. Give these girls here. Yeah, give those girls money. Pass this money down. So enough to do this again, all right? Just keep on. Take this. I'll give that guy right there next to you. Right there. Did I give you anything? Yeah, I did. I could? Okay, I'm going to give it to that guy right there. All right. When he talks about the mercies of God, he's talking about the 11 chapters before this particular portion of Scripture. It says, therefore. See the therefore? Whenever you see a therefore, you look what it's there for. He said, the mercies of God. By His mercies. We need to be cognizant of what it costs God. The love of God. For God so loved the world, He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. By my mercies. All right, let's see. Let me give you a hypothetical situation here. Let's say I fly back home on Friday. Let's say I get on a plane, I fly to Atlanta, and then from Atlanta, I fly up to Flint, and then my wife picks me up. But she, instead of her picking me up, somebody else picks me up. Where's my wife? Oh, Pastor Jackson, you won't believe why you were gone. Hypothetical. While you were gone, your water heater blew up. Your house perished in a fire. What? Yeah, it happened while you were on the plane. It's still smoldering. It's smoldering. The fire's still going. And he said, I'll get you home as quick as possible. And so I go home, and there I see just a trash mess, fire still burning, just the results of a terrible fire. And there's my wife, and there's my son, and there's our little dog, Clint's dog, Happy Boy. He named it Happy Boy, 8-pound mutt. And I said, what happened? She said, honey, I don't know, but there was a fireman who saved Clint's life. He was back in the back of the house, and if it hadn't been for that fireman, Clint would have perished in the fire. Where's the fireman at? Oh, he's at the hospital. He took his coat off and put it around Clint and carried Clint out, and he was burned severely. Well, we need to go see that fireman. And so I go to the hospital, and there I see the fireman in the fire ward at St. Mary's, the burn ward at St. Mary's, and I can see that he's burnt terribly. Neck's all burnt. Hands are all burnt. Let's just say 8-10 weeks go by. We're living in a house, a rental that the insurance has provided for us. And let's say at that time, that fireman comes up to my door and I hear a muted knock at the door. I wonder who that is. Let's just say I go to the front door and open up the front door and there's the fireman. There he is. Bandages around his neck. Bandages around his hands. The fireman says, Pastor Jackson, while you were at the hospital, you said if I ever need anything, come and see you. And, you know, man, my disability's not come in yet. And I need some help with some food and some things for my family. And let's just say I said to him, What? What do you mean? I mean, I'm not going to help you. You did your job. That was your job to save my son. Well, Pastor Jackson, you said, I know what I said, but you know, I really didn't mean it. Man, I'm eating dinner right now, and you're bothering me while I'm eating dinner. Man, would you just go back home? Let's just say that fireman says to me, but Pastor Jackson, and then with his bandaged hands, he starts unwrapping the gauze from around his neck. He throws that down, and I see the scar is on his neck, and then he takes the bandages off his hands, and he holds out his hands and lets me see his neck, and he says, then Pastor Jackson, by my mercies would you help me. By my mercies. That's exactly what God is saying to us in Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. By His mercies. His only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, came to the world and died for you, son. He died that you might have life. We need to get a good view of our God, the God who loved us, the God who loves us, and the God who is long-suffering and merciful to us. We need to see God in His majesty. We need to see God in His holiness. See God in His holiness. We really need to see what God wants us to see. And we're not going to see that by looking to the world. We're not going to see that by looking away from our God. Worship shows us that we are who we are. You know, it's interesting as you go back to Isaiah chapter 6 and you see Isaiah. Isaiah all of a sudden recognizes who he is. Verse number 5. Then said I, woe is me, for I am undone, because I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips, for my eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. He all of a sudden became humble. Secondly, he saw the throne. Secondly, he sensed God's touch. He sensed God's touch. You can see it in verse number 5. Isaiah confessed his sin. He said, woe unto me, I'm unclean. Isaiah was conscious of his sin. When he got a good view of God, he was conscious of his sin, seeing God, seeing His holiness. There are other illustrations throughout the Word of God. A couple of them, Job 42. I have heard of thee by the hearing of the ear, but now mine eye seeth thee. Wherefore I abhor myself and repent in dust and ashes. Peter, in Luke chapter 5, take your Bible and turn there, Luke chapter 5, and verse number 8. When Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord. Will you look to the throne room of God? Oh, really? Don't just pray and see the blackness of the back of your eyelids, but look to the throne room of God. Get a picture of God. Recognize who God is. Recognize what God can do in your life if you'll see him for who he is. When we see God and we recognize who God is and we see God in his word, and as we pray, we put God's word into our minds and our hearts. As we see God, we see how sinful we really are. Do we get to that point of humility? And James talks about it, where we humble our heart before God. And as we humble our heart before God, then God is able to draw near to us. By the way, what did he do with his sin? He didn't excuse it like we do. He didn't dialogue with God. He didn't ignore his sin. He didn't neglect his sin. He confessed his sin. Take your Bibles and turn to 1 John 1:9. I want to show you an interesting portion of Scripture. The Bible says, if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sin and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. The word confess there means to see our sin the way God sees our sin. How does God see our sin? God sees our sin as what nailed Jesus to the cross. Our sin is sin. Amen? Our sin is sin. How many recognize your sin is sin? Huh? But what we try to do is we try to excuse it. We try to give ourselves a get out of jail card for free. But our sin is sin, and our sin hinders us from getting answered prayer. If I regard iniquity in my heart, the Old Testament prophet wrote, if I regard iniquity in my heart, God will not hear me. The word regard means like give my regards to your mom and dad. It means nod your head. If I regard iniquity in my heart, if I know I've got sin in my life, then God's not going to hear me. Take your Bibles and turn to James chapter 4. James chapter 4. You got it? James chapter 4, verses 5 and 6. James 4, 5 and 6. The Bible says, submit yourselves therefore to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, ye sinners, and purify your hearts. The more clearly, think about this just for a second, the more clearly Isaiah saw God, chapter 6, verse number 5, the more aware he became of his sin, of his incapacity to really do anything that counted. He saw the throne. He sensed the touch. And by the way, what is hindering you from seeing God and living the kind of life that you ought to live for the Lord Jesus Christ? How are your thoughts? What's contributing to the way you're thinking now? Is it the music you listen to? Is it the TV you watch? Is it the games you play? Is it the computer? What mom and dad don't see, you seeing on the computer? What controls your, what influences your thought pattern? Number three, he submits to his terms. Verses 8 to 13, when Isaiah was no longer burdened by sin, two things happened. And some of you young people have decided that you want to follow the Lord and get into ministry and do something great for God. Serve the Lord Jesus Christ with your whole life. Isaiah heard the voice of the Lord saying, whom shall I send and who will go for us? And I think it's wonderful. And we're reminded as we sit in this auditorium, now then we are ambassadors for Christ. I think it's wonderful. God wants to use us. He used seraphim to challenge Isaiah, but he uses us today for his service. Today, we're living in a day where, again, I use the word egocentric. We're such a self-centered society today. I was talking to a man the other day, and he was telling me about all his kids were involved in, and I'm thinking to myself, I hear a lot of things your kids are doing right now. They're in cello lessons and piano lessons, and they're on ball teams, and they're doing this. And I didn't hear that they were going to the rescue mission. They were going to the rest homes. They were involved. They haven't been involved in the youth group the way they ought to be involved in extra services, going to elderly people's homes, doing things for other people, going soul winning. They're never there on Wednesday night for soul winning or Saturday morning for soul winning. I think it's so wonderful that God uses us. You know, you feel good serving, don't you? Huh? How many feel good doing something, huh? I mean, is it, and I would ask these adults back here, Is it more fun to give a bag of groceries or get a bag of groceries? Huh? Go ahead, adults. Tell me. Give. It's fun to serve. Clint loves serving. If he's at church right now, he's vacuuming or doing something. On Sundays, he's a greeter. On Sunday, he's a usher. He always ushers over in the wing over here. He goes to my brother-in-law's church, and he was there the night you were there. Did you see him up in the choir? You may have seen him. He was there. He's Archie Robinson, the great big football player, used to play for Miami Dolphins. He always goes and gets Clint and brings him up to the choir and has him sing in the choir. A matter of fact, he has an associate membership at my brother-in-law's church. They voted him in one Wednesday night when he went there. I was away preaching someplace, and I said, that's fine as long as he tithes at our church. But anyway, Clint serves. Here he is, Down syndrome. He serves. He ushers. I mean, he's a clothes horse. I mean, he loves nice clothes. He's got 5-6 suits. Matter of fact, you should go see him. He probably maybe has some clothes for you. But anyway, some sport coats. He has nice ties, normally mine. And so he's over here ushering, and people are saying, isn't that sweet? Now, remember, he knows 120 scripture verses. Isn't that sweet that Down syndrome boy is over there ushering? Little they know that he's telling me after the service what everybody gave in that section. No, not really. But anyway, it's fun serving the Lord. Secondly, Isaiah heeded the call, verse number 8. He didn't ignore God's call, but he responded. He submitted to his terms. And why not? He saw God. He saw the Lord. You know, we're not our own, are we? Did you know that? Young lady, do you know you're not your own? Take your Bibles and turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 6. 1 Corinthians chapter 6. 1 Corinthians chapter 6. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 18 or 19 and 20, what? Question mark, Paul. What? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which ye have of God, and ye are not your own, for ye are bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. So that verse is telling me that you are not your own. Is that what that verse is telling you? Why aren't you your own? Are you saved? Then you've been bought with a price. What was the price? Christ's blood. Died on Calvary's tree. So you're not your own. Why? Because you're saved. You're bought with a price. You're saved. You're not your own. So how should you live your life? Let me help you again. This guy's good. What? Yeah? Godly life. A godly life. I should live the way Christ wants me to live. Go tell the person next to you. I should live the way Christ wants me to live. Tell them nice and loud. Tell them nice and loud. Go tell them. Okay, tell them nice and loud. Okay, you're not your own. All right. Do you have your car key, sir? Do you? What are you driving?
I got a real car.
Oh, that's good. That's good. Great. Thank you very much. Okay, good. All right. What is it? What kind of car is it?
Toyota.
Ooh, I'm sorry to hear that. I'm from General Motors area myself. Okay. How many here have their driver's license? Anybody here have their driver's license? Okay, great. Young lady, you have your driver's license? Do you have a car? Here you go. There you go. Is it got gas in it? Great. There you go. Lord bless you. No, take it, take it, take it. Shake my hand. Say thank you. You're so welcome. Where are you from? Right around the area here? Make sure you take your license plates off. All right, now. Got a guy in Saginaw to make you new ones that look great. All right, now. How many think, Pastor Jackson, that was so nice of you to give that car away? How many think that was nice of me, huh? Huh? Okay, bunch of thieves around here. Well, why? How many think, Pastor Jackson, you can't do that? Well, why can't I do that, young lady? Because it wasn't mine. But yet, how many Christian young people are living their lives for themselves, and yet their lives aren't their own? It's not your own, right? Doesn't that make sense? That makes all kinds of sense. If it makes sense, raise your right hand. Makes sense, raise your left hand. Hey, careful here. Well, no, we're not in that kind of service. All right, now. If you want to, you can give those keys back. It was just an illustration. All right, now. If not, you can take a spin. If you run out, I know you can beat him in a race. So anyway. Number four, and I'm done. He was sent away with the truth. Isaiah comes to the temple a mourner, and he leaves the temple a missionary, serving the Lord. Verses 9 through 13. God called him, cleansed him, equipped him, prepared him. Oh, how we need workers. We need you young people to get a dream. Follow that dream. Make sure you don't allow anybody to get in the way, as Pastor Folger said the other night. So there's something that my grandchildren will have. So my grandchildren will have churches like we have today. Is there sin in your life? You need to take care of it. You need to see the throne room today. You've been living your life for yourself? Take care of that. Worship God the way you know you need to worship God. You're not your own. You've been bought with a price. How's your view of God? Don't just go through the motions. Get serious about seeing God. God wanted Isaiah to take his eyes off the world scene and look to him. When he did, when he stepped in that throne room, he got a large view of God. You know? If I walk back here, let's say I preach the entire message just standing right here in front of you. Now, that would have been different, right? And you're seeing me now and you're saying, wow, if he would have done that, that would have been kind of embarrassing. But your view of me, when I get up here like this, what do you see? Do you see anything else? No, you just see these old black eyes, don't you, huh? Huh? And you're thinking about, he brushed his teeth with a toothbrush that was in a toilet. But his breath smells fresh now. It smells like Tidy Bowl. The truth is, everything else around you is not that important anymore. Not even the girl sitting on each side. Because I'm going to preach for 45 minutes in front of your face. But at the end of that message, she's going to get more. Because I have blacked out everything around her. I'm in her face. The largeness. Huh? The view. Huh? Right here, right? Huh? Right here. If we would but get to the throne room and but recognize there's a God in heaven who loves us and wants to communicate with us and wants to use us for his honor and glory. How's your view of God? Let's bow our heads and hearts together in prayer. He was used in a mighty way. We need young people that are determined to have a vision for God. How is your vision of God? Pastor Jackson, I'm saved. I know I'm saved. Would you slip your hands up if you could say that? I know I'm saved. I'm way to heaven. Hold your hands up nice and high. Never be ashamed. Hold them up high. You may put your hands down. Perhaps you could not say I'm saved. You know you need Christ your Savior. You've been faking it. You're not real. You've not seen the throne room of God. You've not even experienced the great grace of God through Jesus Christ. You say, Pastor Jackson, remember me in prayer. I need Christ. Anyone like that here today? Anyone? I'm going to say today, you know, Pastor, I've not had the right view of God. But by God's grace, I want the right view of God. I want that throne room experience. I want God to use me. Pray for me. Would you slip your hands up in the quietness of the moment while heads are bowed? I know I need to take time. I know I need to have better thought, more thoughts on God. I know God's Word can change my life, and I need that change. Would you slip your hands up right now, high, all about the auditorium here? mean business. I want a better view of God. God bless you. May put him down. A few minutes, stand to your feet. A few minutes, stand to your feet. A few minutes, stand to your feet. If you don't mean it, be seated. Nobody's making you stand. I'm here to help you. I want you to get the best from God. Look this way if you're standing. If you're seated, continue to bow your head. Ask God to continue to use his word to challenge your heart. If you're right with God, then that's great. If you're not, then ask God to help you do what you need to do for the cause of Christ.